The following preview is of a graphic audio production rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Deathlands Number 4, Crater Lake. Crater Lake, Deathlands, USA.
Careful, that goon's got a laser rifle.
Where death lurks behind every corner.
Ryan, you've got to stop them! They're butchering him!
Where revenge is a way of life.
No, please, don't do it. I beg of you, please.
Don't do it, Lori. Put the gun down.
No, Christy. Not after what that bastard made me do.
A nightmare location where Ryan Carter and his companions find themselves held hostage by an insane group of inbred scientists.
What are they doing?
You don't want to know, Jack.
Where long-lost secrets threaten one of their own.
The totality concept. Doc, is this about you? Doc? Doc!
Oh my God.
And the companions' lives are held in the very shaky hands of the maddest of them all. The bizarre Dr. Ethel Tardy.
It's a very simple equation, Ryan. You plus your companions plus your cooperation means your life. Your non-cooperation means your death. You do the math.
Deathlands Number 4, Crater Lake. Not everyone's making it back from this jump.
Deathlands Number 4, Crater Lake, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting December 2005. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
Outlanders Number 30, Mask of the Sphinx. On a search for vital medical equipment, Kane, Grant, and DeFore stumble upon an old city that has modeled itself after ancient Egypt.
I am Nephrin, Queen of Aten. The oracles informed me that you'd come.
Yeah, but did you have to welcome us with an army?
While you are all here, I would like to introduce you to our other guest.
Erica Vent Sloan?
Well, hello there. What a pleasant surprise. The Imperator sends his regards.
I will hear the arguments of each side. To either join Sam the Imperator in his quest to unite the world, or to join you and your companions in resisting his efforts.
Your Highness, Erica Van Sloan is here only as part of an attempt to incorporate one more city into Sam's fold.
Lakesh will spout only lies about the Imperator.
Sam wishes nothing more than the complete control of everything on this earth.
We can offer Aten untold power in exchange for your loyalties. What do they have to offer?
Freedom.
We're under attack!
Kane, you will join the so-called Imperial Mother to discover who is attempting to attack and sabotage this city.
What's my alternative?
The same fate that awaits us all if you do not succeed. Death.
I don't like this any more than you do, Erica. But let's just keep sharp and keep quiet.
You still sound like a mag.
You hear that?
Kane, what is it?
This cave. We need to get out of here.
Outlanders Number 30, Mask of the Sphinx, coming in December.
Outlanders Number 30, Mask of the Sphinx, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting December 2005. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
Graphic audio. A movie in your mind.
And now, our feature presentation. A glistening pearl of sweat ran down between the woman's breasts, across the flat stomach, into the V of curling dark hair. Another drop slid past her parted lips, over her chin, hung suspended for a moment, then fell through the smoky air and landed with delicate precision on the polished blade of the tiny silver dagger. Her dark skin was smooth, her tumbling hair as black as the wing of a raven at midnight. She was naked, sitting cross-legged in the dirt, a yard from a smoldering fire of hewn cottonwood branches. It was difficult to guess her age. From her body, you might have thought she was in her early 20s. Then you might have looked into her face. The cheeks were pocked and scarred, with open sores weeping around her mouth. The lips were full, slightly parted as she panted in the heat. Most of her teeth were missing, and those that remained were yellow and chipped, jostling each other for space, like tumbled gravestones. But it was her eyes that held you like an insect trapped in a web. They were pale as watered milk, with a thin membrane drawn across each cornea, like a veil of finest lace. Beneath the pallid shroud, the eyes moved, darting and jerking. Her right hand gripped the knife, the hilt made from the middle finger of a man, the joints bound with silver filigree, and uncut rubies set at its pommel. The blade was about 4 inches long, razored on both edges, the tip needle-sharp. The flickering light in the reed-roofed hut revealed lettering engraved along the blade in twining, ornate script. La Morlante, the slow death. In her left hand, the blind woman clutched a small, fluttering, feathered creature, a red-winged blackbird, head turning from side to side, its tiny bright eyes rolling against the sheen of its plumage. Inside the hut were more than a dozen men, most wearing cotton trousers, some with ragged shirts. Nearly all of them had tightly curled, cropped hair, with faces that spoke of an African ancestry. They knelt in the dirt, eyes locked on the woman's mutilated face, hands folded in their laps as if in prayer. One of them rose and scattered a handful of dry powder on the glowing ashes of the fire, sending a cloud of dense white smoke toward the hole in the roof that served as a chimney. White smoke, tinged with scarlet, filled the hut with a bittersweet scent. The woman lifted her hands, bringing both the silver knife and the fluttering bird nearer the blind eyes. Her body trembled, the nipples becoming erect, fire-tipped like cherries. Only the frail scratching of the bird's claws upon the skin of the woman's hand now betrayed movement. Outside, the wind had fallen away, as night set its grip tighter upon the land.
As I see, so shall this far-flying singer upon wings see, for us and for the Baron, and for life beyond the life within, I do this thing.
The hands came together, the point of the knife seeking the gleaming eyes of the blackbird. Slowly, with the care and skill of long practice, the woman pricked out both of the creature's eyes, blinding it. A thread of bright blood streaked the feathers of its chest. The woman held tight.
Sing not, and speak not, and see not. But let the pinions bear upward, that we might see where hope shall beckon.